Blog Talk Radio.
This is the UR Tennis Network. We are the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate tennis enthusiasts who promote our sport relentlessly. We strive continuously to bring news and information for players, parents, coaches, officials, businesses, and anyone else who loves tennis. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis may not be interested in them.
Posters on my bedroom wall. The battle rapping for status up in the schoolhouse. Just call me Double Sushi, thought I was too raw. And hip hop was my home, I had my shoes off. 6'3 in high school, skip a hoop dream. If I don't blow up, then maybe I'll try the school thing. I went to college to do my family a favor, but I couldn't pick a major because I wanted to be major. I tried selling work, but it didn't work. So I worked to chop a filling cart, filling it over dirt. Lunch break, see me writing 16s over mixed D's. Skipping class, making beats over 16s. And I... started with hanging posters on my bedroom wall. The battle rapping for status up in the schoolhouse. Just call me Double Sushi, thought I was too raw. And hip hop was my home, I had my shoes off. 6'3 in high school, skip a hoop dream. If I don't blow up, then maybe I'll try the school thing. I went to college to do my family a favor, but I couldn't pick a major because I wanted to be major. I tried selling work, but it didn't work. So I worked to chop a filler cart, filling over dirt. Lunch break, see me writing 16s over Mickey D's. Skipping class, making beats over. And I love it even though I'm just tasting. Selfish ambition, couldn't tell your boy Nathan. Watch out all you rappers cause they finna let the train in. But I was sleeping on the sun like the day's in. And you can have the money, and you can have the fame. For me, I want the glory, I'm living for the name. See, life is just a picture, I see outside the frame. I'm living for a kingdom that I ain't never seen. And I'ma take that, I'ma take that. Find the key to life and best believe that I'ma play that. Glory, I'ma take that, I'ma take that. Glory, I'ma take that, I'ma take that.
Quiet, please. Here comes the chair umpire.
And now, introducing the umpire of today's match. Hailing all the way from Burnett, Texas, and representing college coaches everywhere, the only one we could find to call the match, Jason Haynes! The show will be the best 2 out of 3 sets with tiebreakers, and is called Diversity in College Tennis. So turn on your phones and get ready to call in.
And I'ma take that, I'ma take that. Gotta keep it like a best believer, I'ma play that. Glory, I'ma take that, I'ma take that. Glory, I'ma take that, I'ma take that.
Well, good afternoon. We want to welcome you all to today's show of Diversity in College Tennis. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the host of the program and also the CEO of the UR Tennis Network. We're so glad that you joined us for today's show. We have an exciting show today. We had some technical difficulties during the intro there, and I had some technical difficulties here on my phone, so just be with us or bear with us today. We've got some good things to talk about in the college tennis world, and I've got a great guest today. His name is Coach David Kent. David is a former coach at Texas A&M. He's the men's coach that was there for a long time. And I caught this guy at the Texas Tennis Coaches Association convention and knew that his story or parts of his story need to be told. So I had something come up, and I needed a guest, and I contacted Coach Kent yesterday, and he was more than gracious to come forward, and we haven't been able to talk about it much just because of the quickness that it happened, but he's going to come on, and we're going to talk some college tennis, going to talk Texas tennis, and I look forward to that visit, and it'll be coming up. Here about 2:20, about 15 minutes away, so I'm glad that you tuned in for that. We are in the spring season here in college tennis. So we've got lots of exciting things going on out there. For all my live listeners out there, I know Stella Haynes is out there listening somewhere, and I'm so grateful that she is. She is the first person to listen in on the show, and I always tell her hello each and every week. And I'm glad that she's out there this week. As many of you know, last week she was with me, so this week she's at home. I know here in Texas we got a great tennis day. It's probably about 80 degrees and sunny, and it's a great day to strike a tennis ball. And I hope many of you will get out there and do that. We have begun the spring season as far as college dual matches go. Many teams are underway, and I've been keeping track of a lot of the early action and noticing a lot of interdivisional play and a lot of small college, big college play. And I'm glad to see that. That always is good for tennis when you can travel. My team versus your team, we get to go to a state-run university, see what big-time tennis is like. For us, that was always a great joy for many of the girls that we had on our teams who were turned down by Division I schools, then to get to play at the Division I schools that maybe turned them down and show them that they could compete, and compete at a higher level than what the coach ever thought they could. That was always exciting for us. We had Coach Steve Buck on last week. Steve was a great guest and had many live listeners out there. It was the largest live audience we had ever had here at the UR Tennis Network, and I was so glad to be a part of that. We reached some really unheard-of numbers, and I'd like to think it was because everybody likes to hear Jason Haynes talk college tennis, but really want to thank Coach Steve Buck and his crew for getting involved with the UR Tennis Network and the Texas Tennis Coaches Association and giving a great show. And I look forward to having Coach Buck on in the future as we travel through this. Well, we've got an interesting thing that's happened out there in the college tennis world, and, you know, these don't happen often. I mean, where a situation arises within the NCAA that's brought forth, brings an athletic department to the attention of the NCAA, and for it to be newsworthy, you know, we're all guilty here and there of a few minor infractions. We understand that, and, you know, we know how tennis has got involved with the NCAA before in football with the Georgia story about the assistant coach that paid for the family to go to the NCAA championships and then was reprimanded and suspended for that action of kindness. Well, over the weekend, we were hit with a story from the University of Southern Mississippi. And Southern Mississippi was given the right to give the NCAA a scandal, and so they did. And let me tell you about this scandal. This comes from the USA Today. So it's public information, but I'll put in my two cents on it, and college tennis coaches across America may enjoy this. They may not. Some may say, wow, I do that. Now, I want you to remember that the University of Miami case is also before the NCAA, and they're still ironing out that thing, and you remember that involved the great sport of football. So, naturally, anytime you got that big-time money involved in that, a lot of lawyers getting involved and see if we can iron this out because we've been under the table. Now, the problem here with the Southern Mississippi men's tennis program, this is like a drive-through. Now, the NCAA announced a one-year postseason ban for the men's tennis program at Southern Mississippi on Wednesday. In addition to the 4 years of probation vacating wins between 2008 and 2010, in other words, they go winless, and a seven-year show cause order for the former head coach. Wow. That's a pretty big deal for a tennis scandal. Well, seems like there were some pretty serious things going on there. The NCAA, according to its public report, found that two former tennis coaches at the school offered a player $5,000 and a car to remain at Southern Miss instead of transferring. The former head coach, Teddy Viator, and I may have said it wrong, and I apologize to Teddy or anyone else out there that knows Teddy. The former head coach allegedly had also offered $200 to a player to win a match in which he was trailing and organized an illegal foreign tour to the Bahamas in 2008. Also cited for academic misconduct, arranging a student athlete at the school to write a paper for one of his players. Now, in Teddy's defense, he offered that he denied the $5,000 allegation and said the $200 offer was a joke in a deposition during the player's lawsuit, the NCAA, during the player's lawsuit against the NCAA to have his eligibility reinstated. The lawsuit was dismissed last year. Now, Teddy and his assistant coach declined to be interviewed by the NCAA. The former assistant, who is still not named, was charged with unethical conduct for instructing the player to deny everything. According to the report, the most of the allegations came from tennis players whose scholarships were not going to be renewed by the head coach. They brought those complaints to Southern Miss Compliance in May 2010, at which point the school self-reported the violations. Now, a lot of technical jargon in there, but as a coach, you know, here's the thing I think that probably we might understand from this is that Teddy, being a competitive person, might have inherited a program that in which he had some players and things in which he liked and he didn't like, and in a year in which he's cleaning house, he said some things that maybe taken out of hand, out of context, literally, and to the point to where these kids whose scholarships are not going to be renewed go to the officials there at the Southern Miss Athletic Department and say, hey, we realize our coaches said that our scholarships won't be renewed, but we've got some information about the coach that you guys might want to know about. And so Southern Miss has to self-report this to the NCAA once this is standard procedure here. Once the kids came forth, so an investigation was launched into the head coach and the assistant coach, and this is what they came up with. You notice that the player didn't say he was reinstated. The interesting thing in this is the car. Nobody denies the car. What kind of car did the kid get? Was it a Lexus? Was it a Yugo? I mean, is it worth going to Southern Miss for a car and the education? Or, you know, was it just something to get the kids around campus? And the kid thought, well, I get it for a year. I get to keep it. It's my car. That's interesting in this. Southern Mississippi, I mean, of all places in the United States to get cited for NCAA tennis violations, it's Southern Miss. Now, another article, and this was put out by the NCAA, fills in a couple of other gaps in all this. Southern Miss was actually cited for failing to monitor its men's tennis program, probably furthest from the list. We all know that they put the tennis courts so far away from the rest of the campus that they don't care what goes on with tennis because they make good grades. So why in the world would we have to watch tennis? They make good grades. Now, the assistant coach got a six-year show cause order. You know, the head coach got 7 years, so apparently the head coach did more than the assistant coach in this. Remember, the assistant coach is the one that told the player to deny everything. Hey, we're good buddies. Why don't you just deny everything? The car was to encourage the student athlete to remain at Southern Mississippi. You know, and coaches will say some weird things to try to get a player motivated. $200 for a match, to win a match, you know, not uncommon to joke about that kind of behavior. I could see that. They initiated plagiarism and academic misconduct during the fall of 2009. Specifically, the former head coach paid a second former student athlete $150 to write a paper For the previously mentioned student athlete, the former assistant coach continued the academic misconduct for providing the student athlete with essays that the student athlete submitted as his own work. A little bit of cheating academically, I understand. The former coaches refused to participate in the enhanced enforcement staff interviews. The former head coach withheld true and complete information during Southern Mississippi's investigation. In addition, the former assistant coach instructed the former student athlete to deny everything. We've already said that. Additionally, the committee found that the former head coach did not follow travel policies and procedures. The athletic senior staff did not maintain proper documents, nor provide general administrative oversight of the men's tennis program, and the department failed to provide the athletics compliance function with the necessary staff and resources. As a result, the committee found that Southern Mississippi fails to monitor its men's tennis program. Well, duh. And so the black eye gets put into Southern Mississippi's athletic program. The black eye comes to men's tennis here, to the head coach, to the assistant coach now. They've got to live this out, and you don't really know what of these comments was made in happenstance and in humorous fashion and then taken literally. You don't know about the car. The $5,000 now is being denied, and so where is the truth in all this? And Teddy has remained silent through most of this, and I don't know if that's he's letting the facts come out or what exactly it is, but I hope his story will be told at some point. Maybe it's told here. Maybe we should look into that and see now that this has come out. So we'll look into that and see if we can find this guy. Or if you've got information on this guy, you can email us at college, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com, and we'll follow up on it, no doubt about it. But certainly bad news. We don't like to see unethical conduct coming out of these head coaches, but we also want to hold the kids accountable too here. They're the ones slinging the mud, so make sure you look at them. Remember, when there's fingers pointed at somebody, there are probably three pointed back at somebody else. So just keep that in mind, a valuable tennis lesson. I also want to announce something that one of the colleges out there is doing, University of New Mexico, and this is the women's tennis team out at the University of New Mexico. They've come up with a program, Serving Up Love, and I hope to get this on, and then we'll talk to Coach David Ken here shortly, former coach from Texas A&M University, men's coach. So I want to let you know about something that the University of Mexico is doing out there that seems to be successful in the philanthropic world. On February 2nd, they played against Western New Mexico, and then February 9th, that's where this article comes from, is leading up to this. February 9th from 1 to 4, you get a chance to watch the Lobos help the tennis youth games and interact with the community in Santa Fe, New Mexico, as they participate in the Girls Incorporated of Santa Fe event, Serving Up Love. The event will be held at the Schilleberger Tennis Center, and tickets will be $10 from there. Head coach Erica Perkins Jasper and assistant coach Kelsey McKenna will also be participating, but not helping with youth games. They'll be shaking off the rust of their arms and legs as they play a doubles match together against former Lobo All-American and current judge Timothy Garcia and Jimmy Parker. So a little mixed doubles action there in the truest sense. Judge Garcia was All-American there in 1976 and only UNM player to participate in the NCAA championships all 4 years of his college career. And Jimmy Parker is a world-renowned tennis player, winner of 110 USTA national championships, whew, third all-time, and 23 ITF championships. So wish good luck with the Lobos there, and congratulations for getting the community involved in more tennis. Outstanding work. All right, so we're going to try this. We've done this before. We're going to try to call Coach David Kent. Coach Kent is out there. Coach Kent doesn't have an email address, so we are going to take time here, and we're going to contact this man the old-fashioned way as we go through this, and we're just going to use the telephone. So you got to bear with me here. As the digital world goes, I have to find his number. And then once I find it, I have to enter it. And that's actually Coach Kent calling me. So let me have this here. You know, he's an anxious guy. I appreciate that. 2 weeks in a row, the guests have called me on my line, and I've got to talk to them before we ever get on air. So let's try this here. I'm liking this. All right. Coach Kent, we're going to call you and see if we can put you on
this
the line.
Please leave a message. Thank you.
Uh-oh.
To leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone. To send a numeric page, press...
Let's try him again. Maybe he didn't hang up the phone here. Coach Kent, we are dialing.
This is Carolyn. Please leave a message. Thank you.
To leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone.
Let's see here. You know, this is... the joy in all this. He calls me. We don't talk. I call him. Can't talk. He may have the phone still on. We just don't know.
This is Carolyn. Please leave a message. Thank
you. Call back.
To leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone. To send a numeric...
Well, you know, my friend Bruce Lipka went through this when he had Paul Anacone on. And we had a great show that day. So I'm going to count on Coach Ken here to figure out what's up with his phone, and I will be calling him shortly. So I may actually, what I may do here, and I may have to do this, I may give you some dead air time because this is a weird situation. So hang with me. I think that what has happened here, yep. I'll be right back. Hang on. Interesting day, I know. Okay, I'm back. So here's what we had to do was is I had to disconnect from the show because Coach Kent called in on a different number than what I had, which was on my phone, and I couldn't get to while I was on the air. So here's... I'm calling him now and the number in which he called, so here we go. Let's see.
Hello?
Hello, Coach David Kent.
Yes.
Hi, this is Jason Haynes from Diversity in College Tennis. How are you today?
Doing good, thank you.
Very good. I'm excited to have you on the show, and I know my listeners are excited to have you here. So let me, but you know, there are going to be some people out there that Coach Kent that don't have any idea who you are. So will you take a second and just introduce yourself to the audience?
Okay. Yeah, you want me to do it now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm David Kent, and I was a tennis coach for about a long time, about 38 years. And I really enjoyed tennis, and it's been great because of a lot of the people I coached. They went on and did great, and I'm so proud of them. So, It's good, and I've really been keeping up with the tennis, and they do good at all the universities and down to your place and all. So I'm just so excited about everything. And, you know, I coach better when I have good players. The players were really good. And actually, when I tried to recruit them, I made sure that they were good students. And, gosh, 99% of the students, I mean, the people that I caught and, you know, on the tennis team, they graduated from the college. And that was good, because we really worked on them graduating, and, you know, they played tennis hard, but also they studied hard. So, well, that's one good thing we did. And they were, you know, I coached better when I had good players, and they were good players and good students, and it was real fun with me doing that. And I really enjoyed coaching, and I coached all those years, and it was so great. And, you know, practice was important there, and my team would work hard, and we would run and get in good shape, and then we would have them study real hard, because most of them were really good students, and that's really positive in this day and age, that they're going to graduate and then, you know, be able to do things. And a lot of the people that I coached went ahead in the pro teams, and a lot of them right now are coaching themselves, and they're doing a good job, and they've been very positive. And, you know, my team was even positive when they lost. And, you know, a lot of times when they lose, you got to be positive and go on down the road. And that was fun. And I had a lot of great players, and I've known a lot of the coaches that played against me, like David Snyder, and he was a great person. And my wife was, Eileen, was a really very supportive of us, and I was really appreciate that. And, you know, I have a lot of players now that I stay in touch with a lot. Mark Weaver, Bobby Kleinicke, and they were calling me all the time. I'm talking to them, and Greg Hill. So it's been good, and coaching is one great thing to do, and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, now, Coach Ken, are you a born and raised Texan?
Yes, I grew up in Perryton, and then I got the first scholarship at Texas Tech, and I played tennis there, and I played tennis in high school and college, and then I really worked on it after that. So it's been really fun.
Now, Coach, at what age did you start playing tennis?
What day?
Now, what age? How old were you?
Oh, golly, I played football in high school and also tennis. So I was actually really started playing tennis after I graduated from high school. And I did play in high school a lot, though, and then I was in college more than that. About 1958, and it was really good, and I had a good coach in college, and it was a lot of fun, and we had a good team there, West Texas, Texas Tech, I mean, and so it was a lot of fun.
Yes, sir. Now, who taught you how to play tennis? Was it a family member, or what? Did you go to a park, or how did that work for you?
Well, actually, is my family. My dad was a good tennis player, and he really helped me a lot. And I grew up there in Amarillo, and it was a good place to grow up and play. And then I also was involved in football there, and it was good. And but I spent a lot of time playing tennis, and we really enjoyed it, and they were really nice to me.
Now, 4 years at Texas Tech, did you start out at number one? How high did you play, or how did that work there?
Yeah, I started out, getting the first tennis scholarship, and then I had a lot of people that were there, and they're really good players, and I played 1, 2, and 3 there at Texas Tech, and I really enjoyed it there, and I had a lot of good players there, and we had a good coach, and so it was fun, and it was good that they really supported us to work hard and get a degree, and I think that's what I've tried to do in high school and college, make sure they get a degree, and most of my students have, and I'm real proud of that.
So I have to ask, Coach, you graduate from Texas Tech. What is your degree in?
Well, I've got a degree in Texas Tech, Master in Business Administration. Then I've got a degree in West Texas State University, Master of Education. So I was at Texas Tech, then I went to West Texas State, coached there, and then I got a master's degree there. So that was fun. And then I went ahead and coached and taught all those years, and I really enjoyed it.
Now, when you graduated from Texas Tech, did you go straight into coaching tennis?
Yeah, I went straight into coaching and playing tennis a lot, but I went straight into coaching, and I went to the high school there and coached there, and then went on and played at some colleges, and I mean coached at some colleges and all, but I really enjoyed it, and it's still good that I can go back and talk to these people, that are really good, and like Sean O'Donovan, he's a great player now, and a lot of my players I coach are really good. Greg Hill, Dean Goldfein, Mark Weaver, and Bernardo Martinez, and Brent Haygarth. I guess go on the players. And actually, they were good players and good students, and you coach better when you have good players.
No, I understand that, Coach. Now, you coached at West Texas State. You coached at Texas A&M University. Were there other schools that you coached at?
Well, I was at Texas A&M a long time and West Texas State. And then I was West Texas State. And I just coached a long time and went into high school and coached a lot there, too.
Okay, where'd you
go to
high school?
Well, I went to Amarillo High School, and then I taught some at Amarillo High School, and then I went on to other high schools and taught, and that was fun. But I really enjoyed the university coaching better than anything, because you get to get good players, and when you do get good players, you need to be sure they're good students, because most of my 99% of my students graduated, and that was so important to me. And I think it's important to anybody that coaches is that they not only play good tennis, but they're good students. And when they lose, they still are very positive. So you can't win all the time, but it's fun to do.
Yes, sir. What year did you start coaching at Texas A&M University?
Oh, golly, let's see, 19, probably 58, and I stayed there a long time, and I know a lot of players, were there, and so that was a good place to coach.
Yeah, yeah, and so, Coach, as you travel through this, Texas A&M University, at the time you come in, isn't near as big as it is now. I mean, how big was it when you got there?
Well, A&M was really supportive of us, and we kind of got that nice tennis court started at A&M, and they were very, very supportive of us, and they would pay our ways around on traveling, and I actually recruited a lot of foreign players and a lot of players from Texas, and I traveled a lot, but you travel around and you get good players, you're going to be a better coach.
No, exactly. I guess that, growing up as a kid in Texas, I know that whatever sport it is that you have a dream of being a Texas or a Longhorn, a Texas Aggie or a Texas Longhorn, and I know that you fulfilled a lot of kids' dreams when you offered them that scholarship there to Texas A&M. I mean, was that pretty easy to recruit those Texas kids?
Yeah, I recruited Texas and also foreign players. Back then, they had more foreign players than they do now. But I had quite a few from, foreign places. But they were all real good, and I enjoyed it. And I tried to recruit mostly in Texas. Because you had a good player in Texas, it's good to have him there. Yeah.
Right. Yes, sir. And so you were part of the Southwest Conference when it was around. I guess you developed.
We won quite in 19. Let's see. We won the Southwest Conference in 1994 or 1993, somewhere there. And we won that first Southwest Conference for the first time, and it was so great. And, it was in 1994. And,
yes.
You coach better when you have good players. Well, I had some really good players there, and the university was really supportive of me. And they always have been, and I really do appreciate A&M.
No, yes, sir. And so in 1994, do you remember the players on that team?
Yeah, I'm looking at them. I've got Bernard. Let's see, I can give you a – oh, gosh. Let's see. Blake Arant, he was on the team. Let's see. Eric Horan, Horan, he was on the team. Robbie Cruz, Krause. And they just were a lot of good players on the team. And like I said, you coach better when you have good players. They were real supportive, and they really worked hard. And also, what I liked about the people there at Texas Tech, not only did they work hard on tennis, they also worked hard on their studies. And like I said, 99% of them graduated. And that was so good. I just have to think one or two that didn't graduate.
Yes, sir. And I know that that's a big thing for a college coach, particularly on the tennis side, is that our kids tend to graduate more rapidly and more often than the other athletes.
Yeah, it's good because they have time, to work hard. And then we had them at Texas A&M. We had people that helped them in all their classes. And that was really good that they did help them and really made them, do good in their studies. But they would have people that would counsel them and tell them and talk to them about if they were having trouble in a place. And, and that was good because those people really appreciated it. And it was good for them to do that, the athletic department.
And now, Coach, you mentioned Coach Dave Snyder of the University of Texas. Were there other coaches that you remained friends with as you traveled through this?
Yeah, I had a bunch of them. Snyder was a really good friend of mine, and he always has been. And he played his teams were always good. And and then also Texas Tech, TCU. I know that guy real well, and he's good, you know, and I inducted both of them in the Texas Hall of Fame. So it was good to be doing that, and it's good to know those coaches, and because they are real supportive of you, and I was supportive of them, and even now we have a good time visiting with each other.
Yes, sir. Quite a class of people. If you know your Texas tennis, you guys had some good rivalries there, I would imagine.
Oh yes, right. You know, the TCU coach and Texas Tech, Texas A&M coach, and then I played against Texas Tech a lot. Even though I graduated from Texas Tech, I don't tell anybody.
in Texas, you know, the Longhorns and the Aggies don't notoriously get along real well. You and Coach Snyder developed quite a friendship through the years. Am I right about that?
Yes, we're really good friends, we're very close friends, and we always have been. But they've kind of strayed, you know, A&M and Texas have kind of strayed. They're not in the same conference, and they don't play much tennis against each other or anything. But back then, Dave Snyder and the TCU coach, and they were all good friends, and they all had good teams, and it was good to be in there in the Southwest Conference during that time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I have to ask, you being an Aggie kind of a guy, how do you feel about the Aggies going to the SEC this year? Are you a fan of that move, or how do you feel
I think it'll be good. I think they'll have a good team in tennis, and they'll travel a lot, you know. That'll be kind of bad, but I think they'll do real well, and I think they've got a good future ahead of them. I think they'll do all right.
Do you still get around and watch some of those A&M matches?
Yes, I like to do that, and they have a little, as I walk in there, they have a little picture of me there. A part of the stadium's named after me, and they've been real nice to me. And I'm in a different place now. I don't have my car, but I go there as soon as I can. I have my son take me over there, and I love going to A&M and the tennis matches. They let me in free, and they're real nice to me. The coaches there are real nice.
The Texas A&M men, they're a nationally ranked program. Do you like what you see there, Coach?
Oh, yes. I think they're doing wonderful, and I think they're going to be wonderful. And I think they're recruiting good, and I think they're going to have a great future.
Yeah. And now the women, the way I understand the women's team this year is this may be a great year for A&M to get a championship.
Yes, I think they've got really good recruits coming, and they've worked hard on it, and I think they're going to really be good this year. I'm really excited about it. I think they'll do real good. And, you know, women are good players, and they're fun to coach, and it's a little harder than the men, but they do good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, Coach, I have to ask, I mean, in all your years of coaching, do you have a dual match or a situation that stands out that would be a good story?
Well, one of the best things I have was in 1954 when we won the Southwest Conference, and we had a really a good year that year, and the players were really good, and Wally Groff he was the head of the deal, and he was real good to us, and they had a lot of pictures of us and all, and they've really been supportive of the tennis camps there, and I think that's good for the athletic department to be so supportive of the tennis camps, because actually you get a lot of people there to play tennis at tennis camp, and later on they'll come to A&M. So it's good to have a tennis camp. And The A&M tennis have been real good along those lines.
Yes, sir. I completely agree with that. You know, Coach, I have to ask you, why was college tennis, why was coaching tennis a love of yours? Why did you love it?
Well, I loved it because we had good players, we played good teams, and when you won, it was real important. And when you lost, we just went ahead and you know, tried to go ahead and do what we needed to do. And the Southwest Conference back then was really good. You know, they had all those the TCU and all those players that were good, and it's been really good, and I've enjoyed it very much. I think it's good to be in a conference like that.
Yes, sir. Now, did you have a motto or a saying that you used in practice with your men's team, or did you just kind of go with the flow? How did that work for you?
Well, I don't know what I used. I used to have something, but the best thing to do is when you play is to win, and give your everything you have to it, and be sure you're in good shape, and all that I think is really important. And you coach better when you have good players, and it's good to recruit good players, and then they need to be positive about getting their degrees. And Grant Connell, Grant Connell was a famous, was the best player I ever coached. And, you know, he was getting ready to turn pro after 2 years at A&M. And he was playing in the finals of the state tournament and they were in Austin, and there were about 18,000 people there. And I walked out on the court, and he was getting ready to play Michael Purge Florence from Austin. And I said to myself, you know, I'm the greatest coach ever. And you know what? He walked over and handed me a little note right before he played. And it was a note I'd written him 3 years ago saying, "Dear Grant, you're not good enough to come to A&M. I'll try to get you in another place." So I read that, and I just got up and sat in the stands. He went on to become the number one doubles player in the world. But I still have that letter, that little note that I'd written him. He said he'd have to give it to me.
Big Coach, that's a great story.
Yeah, that was. That it kind of calmed me down. Yeah.
You bet. And now I have to ask, what happened in that match that day? Did Grant win over Pern Force that day?
Oh, in the tournament, it was a very close match. Michael Pern Force, and I think he lost in three sets. And then he went on after that and turned pro and became the number one doubles player in the world. He was so good, and he won most of his matches in A&M, and I didn't realize that how good he was, but he was really good. He was left-handed, and he was a great player and a great person, and he was a very good scholar.
Yeah. Now, was Grant one of your favorite all-time players to watch, or were there others, Coach?
Oh, yeah. No, Grant Connell was the all-time favorite, but I've had a lot of others. But Grant Connell, he won so much, and you know, I it was kind of embarrassing to me because I didn't really, when he first came to A&M, I just thought maybe I just let him play every now and then. The first tournament he played, he won. And then he didn't lose another match. He didn't lose another tournament. So, yeah. But he lives in Canada now, and I recruited him from Canada, and he's really famous there.
Yeah, very good. Now, Coach, did you have a favorite all-time pro player you like to watch?
Well, I've got quite a few people that have played, but let's see, pro players.
Yeah, who do you like to watch?
Yeah. Well, I like Grant Connell, and then I like people that have played at A&M.
You bet.
They've done well, and I like them, and it's just good to be with those, and I like to get out and do that. Sean O'Donovan, he was a great player, and he was really good, and I liked him, and Mark Weaver was an unbelievable player, and he was so good, and Greg Hill, and all those guys were just so good, and they're real active in tennis nowadays. A lot of them coach, a lot of them still playing, and they're real supportive of tennis, and that's good. I'm so happy for them.
Well, it's a great reflection of your passion towards the sport, Coach. You instilled that in them. I understand Mark is the women's assistant women's coach up there at Texas A&M.
Yeah, Mark does a great job, and he's very supportive of the men and women, and he goes to the men's matches and the women's matches, and he's just very supportive, and I think that's good when you got a guy like that he's real supportive of everybody.
Yeah,
he likes
A&M. And he was a great player. Was he a left-handed player, Coach?
Grant Connell?
No, Mark Weaver.
Mark Weaver. I think he was right. He was right-handed. I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Mark played number one for you. Is that correct?
Yes, he was a good player, and he was very, very supportive, and he would actually train all the time, and he would, with practice, and then after practice he'd work. So he really worked hard, and he was a good example for everybody.
That was an outstanding number one player for you, Coach.
Oh yes. I was so supportive of him, and he was supportive of us, and he worked hard, and he still is a very good person.
And Coach, I'm curious, as you recruited these kids, did you see that they were going to play number one for you, or did that just kind of happen?
Well, I knew when I recruited the players, I knew they were good players, and you coach better when you have good players, and actually, I just kind of let them do what they've done and work hard and see what they're going to do, and then I would put them at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and see how they would do. And the people that got right at the first, I was very supportive of them because they played very hard and they won a lot of matches. But it's good that we had a lot of people that played number 5 and 6 that would still win a lot of matches. And you got to have all those kids winning, and you got to have good doubles matches.
Yeah, how important was the doubles back in your day, Coach? Really important. You played 2 out of 3 sets back then.
Yeah, back then you did, and it was important, and it was good that you had good doubles. And we would actually work on our singles a lot, and then we would work on our doubles a lot too. So we'd actually do both, and winning the doubles point was really good. It put you in a good position to win. And, of course, there were a lot of good teams back in those days, but it was good to have those people.
Right. Well, always going into a singles match, being up 1-0 or 2-1, I guess, back in your day, in the doubles or 3-0 was a big, big jump.
Yes, it was. It was so good. Yeah. And it was important that you got that. It sure was. And we liked doubles. We played a lot of doubles. And they did a lot of serve and volleying. And they do more of that then than they do now. But they were good. Eric Horan and all those guys, they were Blake Horan and all of them were very good players.
Hey, Coach, I came across you. I used to be the men's assistant coach at Texas State University under Neil Kinlan.
Oh, okay.
And, I came up, and, actually, I believe it was the 93-94 season. We brought our Texas State team, it was Southwest Texas State at the time, up to Texas A&M to play you one morning. I'll never forget it. It was so important for me in my young college career. You were so gracious when we got there with Neil and the Texas State team. You took the kids around. You showed everybody what it was like to be an Aggie up at Texas A&M. And Neil and I just admired you for your graciousness in that day.
Well, you're so nice.
That day, we went out to the courts, and I got a chance to see Mark play that day. He played against the guy we had, Matthew Dabbs. And Mark had underestimated Matthew on that day, and they went three sets that day. And to watch Mark go through the wave that he had to go through to win that match and to win it handily at the end showed how good a player he was.
Yeah. And, well, I'll tell you who helped us, too, along those lines is Charles Emily was our assistant coach. But you were a good player back then, and that's good that you did that.
Well, and the thing that day that I came away from, and Neil helped me out, and he talked to you quite a bit more than I did that day for sure, was that Neil said, here at Texas A&M, he said to me, Coach, at the time, he said, they practice 80% of the time, they practice first serves and return serves. And I was that important to you?
Oh, yeah, we did that a lot of the times. Every time we practiced, we did that. It was so important because you have to get your first serve in, you got to return the serve. So we worked on that a lot. We used a lot of tennis balls back then.
I bet you did. I bet you did.
Yeah.
And what people now take for granted, Coach, you had to be responsible when you started there at Texas A&M for those kids in their grades. They're working out. They're hitting tennis balls, scheduling classes, all that stuff. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes. That's very important.
I mean, I don't think that you have the resource system that the coaches have now, do you?
Well, I don't know. They do a good job, and tennis is a little bit different, but I'm proud of what we have, so I think they're doing good.
I think so, too, and I think Texas A&M, the university itself, is often underrated and kind of, it's not looked at properly. It's a great institution.
Yeah, A&M, actually... A&M is one great place, and I tell everybody that, what they call an Aggie 5 years after you graduate. And they say, what? I say, boss. And I tell everybody there's only two good schools in Texas, Texas A&M and Sunday School.
That's very good, Coach. So what year did you retire from Texas A&M?
Oh, golly, I think it was 19. Gosh, I was there a long time. 68, I think. I don't know. May not be.
What year did you stop coaching?
What year did I start coaching?
Stop. What? When did you stop coaching there at Texas A&M?
Well, right after. I was there for 18 years, and I stopped coaching, and then I went into politics, and I was a head of the Republican Party in politics, and I enjoyed that too. But I really enjoyed my coaching with all those players. But I was the head of the Republican Party, and it was good that I got into that.
I understand maybe a lot of similarities between politics and tennis, huh, Coach?
Yeah, that's right. You got to work hard at both of them. I'm not involved
in the
politics anymore, yeah, but it was good. I was there about 12 years, and I enjoyed working there.
So, Coach, what do you miss most about coaching college tennis?
Well, I miss actually coaching the players and winning matches and, being supportive of everybody, and it's really good to do that. And when you're supportive of the players, whether they win or lose, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
And I really have enjoyed it. And I like the players that I still see now, and they're very nice to me, and I'm really proud of them.
Coach, A&M has a history of being traditional with their sports programs, with their campus. They do a lot of neat things, the 12th man, the bonfire. Those are all examples. At the tennis facility, did you guys have some neat traditions that you would do for your matches?
Yeah, we actually were very supportive, and we'd get a lot of people out for the matches. And they were really good. And what I liked about the women, they would come over to the men, and the men would come over and watch the women play. So I this passed around the university, and we had a lot of people that worked at our tennis camps and went to our tennis camps. So that really helped A&M, and it still does, because the tennis camp gets people out. A lot of them will end up playing and be supportive of A&M. But the tennis camps are really good.
How many kids did you have at your camps?
Oh, gosh. We would fill up the courts, hundreds of them. it was good, and we'd make a lot of money, and it was really nice, though, and the kids were good, and we had all these people that would work for us, and they were good players and good people, and that was a good place to have the tournaments and have the Texas A&M thing, so it was good.
I guess kids from all over the state came to the Texas A&M tennis camps?
Did what?
Did kids from all over the state come to the Texas A&M tennis camps?
Yes, they did, and all over the state, and we had a lot of foreigners come in, and people from other states would come in, and we'd fill that place up, and I still think they're filling it up, too, and they get a lot of people from everywhere, and it's good to get all those people in for the tennis camp, because they see what tennis is at A&M, and how it works, and the good weather they have, and all the tennis projects they have, and the coaching they do there is good. So I think it's real exciting.
Yes, sir. Now, Coach, I have to ask, is there a kid that you had on your team that really surprised you? Was there somebody that just shocked you with the way they progressed as a tennis player?
Well, yeah, it's fun. A lot of the times I was not really let these guys play and so on, and they came on. In spite of me, they were really good. And when I was coaching in high school, I had these two girls come up to me one time and say they wanted to play doubles, and I coached them there, and I never let them play doubles. I said, you're not going to play doubles because I never have. You all never play together. But guess what? They start crying, so I let them play doubles together. They won the district. They won the regional. And they won the state tournament. They beat the defending champions there. And it wasn't anything I did. It was all they did. And that's the way coaching is. You turn it over a lot to the players and, you know, are supportive of them and they're supportive of you, and it's a good thing to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, those are two pretty good stories right there, Coach, as you go through this. Do you have a favorite match that you remember coaching in? Was it the Pern Forest Cottle match, or were there other matches?
Was there what now?
Was there another match that you enjoyed coaching in other than the Pern Forest Cottle match?
Yeah, I enjoyed the doubles, and I enjoyed all of them. And, you know, when we won the Southwest Conference tournament there, it was so good, and I was so happy with them because the Southwest Conference was a tough singles, tennis, and we had really a good team this year, and they just came out and beat Texas and TCU and all of them, and it wasn't anything I did, it was what they did.
Oh, you bet. And a good eye for talent. That's what I think I'm noticing here, Coach. You had a good eye for talent.
Yeah. It was good. And, you know, they play a lot different now than we did back then. Back then, we'd hit the ball harder and serve and volley a lot more. And it's a little bit different. But they play good tennis now.
Coach, I guess when you got into college tennis, were they still using wood rackets?
Well, back then, we used the Wilson rackets, and I think a lot of them used the Wilson. But I was on the Wilson coaching staff, so they gave us a lot of Wilson rackets, and we used most Wilson rackets. And a lot of them use it now, and Wilson's very supportive, but all those other racket people are supportive too. And, you know, I don't know what they do now, but Wilson's was a good place.
Now, that's what I'm asking, Coach. When you first got involved with tennis there at Texas A&M, were the players using wood rackets?
Yeah, they were good. When I got involved the first time, there were a lot of them that were seniors and juniors, and I just kept them on. And they actually did pretty good after that, and I was very supportive of them. They were very supportive of me, and they started doing a lot better.
You bet. Coach, I'm curious, when are you going to get to watch another Texas A&M tennis match?
The Texas what?
When will be your next A&M tennis match? When are you going to watch them again?
Oh, whenever my son can take me over there, I've got the they'll send me the matches, and I enjoy being there, and they give me a nice seat. I really enjoy the tennis. I enjoy the men and the women.
Yeah, yeah. So, Coach, do you watch a lot of professional tennis nowadays?
Yeah, I do. I watch the tennis, and it's really good, and, you know, it's a lot of fun, and I watch a lot of the college tennis, and it's fun. I'm really a big supporter of A&M's.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Coach, is there anything else you want to let people know about?
No, that's it. You're really nice, and I enjoyed visiting with you.
Well, Coach, I've enjoyed today. You've given us a perspective on Texas A&M tennis, and just let us get into it a little bit. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're wonderful, and God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Coach, and have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Coach David Kent. David is the former head coach there at Texas A&M University for the men's team, and I ran into Coach Kent and wanted to make sure that his story got on the air and that he was out there for people to listen to. Coach Kent was an amazing tennis coach. He did so many great things for the state of Texas, for high school and for college tennis. He provided so many wonderful opportunities for kids to fulfill a lot of dreams there at Texas A&M University. And I'm so glad that he still gets to get out there and watch some of those tennis matches. Coach Kent always had a smile on his face and was always gracious in his welcoming of of teams that weren't really worthy of being on the Texas A&M courts. But he loved that interdivisional feel. He promoted it. He promoted interstate play when we were there at Texas State. And I'll always be grateful for that because those types of people are what help advance tennis, that we add by adding. And he added experience to those kids and made sure that they were rich in tradition because he was at Texas A&M. And just an absolute great man and a great story. And so glad he agreed to come on the air today. Now, and I want to play a quick commercial, and I'll come right back, and we'll get through today's stuff.
This is Jason Haynes, the UR Tennis Network's Chief Executive Officer. Over the last 14 months, we have undergone a lot of changes here at the UR Tennis Network, and the Nike Tennis Camps have been one of our strongest supporters. They have had a very successful 2012 summer camp season and now are planning for 2013. We would like to thank them for allowing us to be an advertising avenue for their tennis camps. As we leave the summer, we want to encourage you to check out www.ussportcamps.com and start planning your next Nike camp experience. They have locations all over the U.S. for both adults and juniors. The Nike camps are offered in other sports such as golf, volleyball, soccer, swimming, softball, running, water polo, lacrosse, and field hockey. We want to encourage you to consider the Nike camp experience for your tennis needs. These camps are run by successful tennis coaches and offer a fun camp involvement where you learn new skills and make new friends. Be sure to check them out at www.ussportcamps.com or call them at 1-800-NIKE-CAMP and take your game to the next level.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're through with the show today. Next week, we've got Eric Burns. Eric is a head coach up at Indiana University, Purdue University at Fort Wayne, and we're going to talk to him about some Middle America tennis. I look forward to him coming on the air. And tomorrow, on tomorrow's show, Coach Chuck Creasy is an American tennis with Chuck Creasy. He comes on 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. And just so you know, those of you that may be listening for the first time, all week long we have shows going on the UR Tennis Network. We put forth an hour a day of tennis information. And you can podcast us on iTunes. And you can also go to Blog Talk Radio and check out our archive shows there. We also want you to tell people about us. Let them know that we're here. The word of mouth is expanding. We keep getting the numbers back. We're approaching 100,000 listens, and we're so excited about this. You guys keep spreading the news and what's happening, and we're doing great things. We'll keep bringing the tennis news and information to you with exciting guests. As we travel through this, and tomorrow on Chuck Creasy's show, he's going to have Bob McKinley on, and Bob is actually a Texas guy as well, and they're going to play tribute to Clarence Mabry, who just recently passed away here in Texas. So Texas has a lot of tennis news going on, and we're glad to bring that to you. For those of you that aren't caught up in the tennis world too much, remember, Rafa came back this week. He's down in Chile at the Viña del Mar, and he's participating. So check him out. Apparently the knee's healthy, the stomach's healthy, and he got on court as far as I know. Thursday on the UR Tennis Network, we have the Bruce Lipka Show. Friday is the Tennis Authority. Saturday, Minorities in Tennis, and Sunday, Woman Ruling the Court. We start off Mondays in the week with Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone. She had a great show yesterday with the Roddicks, Lawrence, and Blanche, and they came on and talked about their experience with the 10 and under tennis, and it was a great show. I got to produce that show. So as always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and keep your ear to us. We're striving to be the voice of tennis. We're trying to do this the tennis way, and we need your help with the ears. So keep up the great work. Keep telling your friends about us, and let everybody know we're out here. So tune in next week. Coach Eric Burns, he will be with us. That's Indiana University, Purdue University at Fort Wayne. Thanks, and go hit some tennis balls.